This is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. I'm pleased today to be expanding the show out internationally with my first guest from a non-American country. Jan Holmquist is a public librarian in Denmark, and you can follow him on Twitter at Jan Holmquist, and he blogs at janholmquist.wordpress.com. Jan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
You get to be the first international guest on the show. Everybody else has been on the show has been American so far, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's great. Thank you for bringing a Danish accent to the show.
I know I've got some listeners from other countries. I've heard from people from Great Britain and Australia and New Zealand before, so I know there are people from other countries that are listening, so I want to try to broaden it out a little bit. And as my first international guest, I wanted to ask you, how would you say circulating ideas in your native language?
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one. bringe ideer videre kind of means passing on ideas.
Okay.
Otherwise, circulate, that's pretty much the same, circulere.
Okay.
So cirkulerende ideer, it could be, yeah.
And do you use the term circulate in libraries like that, the same way we do?
Oh, yes, we do, yeah.
Do you circulate your collections and everything? Okay.
Yeah.
So you are the first guest who's not an American, but I know a lot of listeners will already know who you are due to your work online and on social media. How important do you think social media is in connecting librarians from around the world, and how has it improved your professional life?
I think it is very important, and now we can do things and connect in a way that wasn't possible before social media. It's been very much an eye-opener for me. When I started out, I didn't know where it would take me, so it's hard to overrate how much it has actually done for me and also for the profession, because it's also possible to work on projects and ideas, and it's more easy than I would have thought it would be. So I think that it's very, very important, and I get so much inspiration from people online via social media that I translate to my situation and my community and using my work. So it's hard to overrate it.
And do you have a lot of local librarians in your network? A lot of, would you say it's more international or a little mix of both?
I think it's a mix of both, because of course you work with people face to face, and that's very important, because you're making the library for your community, and you should share on a national level and a local level. But I don't think that I'm thinking about it as two separate things. It is one big international network that contains a lot of Danish librarians, and also a lot of librarians from all over the world. So I think about it in global terms.
Do you have a lot of library conferences over there?
Yes, we have some library conferences in Denmark, in Danish, and there's also one every second year in Aarhus. That's an international conference, Next Library. And this year, this summer, it will be Next Library in Aarhus again. And that's a very good conference. So we have an international one in English as well. But otherwise, we have things like the ALA that we have once a year, repeatedly conferences in Danish.
Right. And do you go to a lot of other conferences in other countries even?
I think that I've been to a lot over the last years here, but there are also many that I would like to go to that I haven't been to yet. So,
have you been able to make it over to the U.S. yet, or no?
No, not yet. Not yet. I hope to do that one day. But
yeah, we'll get you over here.
Oh, nice! I'm looking forward to that.
And have you been able to meet a lot of people that you've met through social media in person?
Yes, I have, and that has been so great. I was lucky to meet Michael Stevens this year at IFLA. No, last year It's 2013 now. So last year in Helsinki, I met Michael. And last year in May, I met Justin Hünke. I get the right to pronounce his last name, Hünke, because it's kind of German, and we made a lot of fun with that in Hamburg, Germany. So so that has been great. And Miley Joseph from Australia visited me also last year. So I met a lot of people last year that I collaborated with. Also, Loida Garcia-Fibo. I met her twice, I think it was, last year. And she was also part of the Help This Week in Libraries. So I met a lot of these people. And that's great. And even though that social media is a very good way to connect, and you can do what we're doing now, Skype, to talk in another way, and I think that it's very important. It is another thing to meet people in person. It just is. So
yeah. I think even though social media does provide us a good way to hook up, there is something about that face-to-face meeting that's more special.
Yes, I think that when you get to know people, and I think that you can know people very well through social media, but you just really want to meet them in real life and have all the other ways of communicating the smiles and all the stuff, the nonverbal stuff as well. So it is another way of talking when you have people in front of you, just as.
And is there anybody else that you communicate with, like, on a regular basis over Skype or just social media kind of stuff?
Yeah, there are a lot of people, but I Skype with Buffy Hamilton from time to time, and that's some of the best hours. It's so much fun, so I really want to meet her someday. We Skype from time to time, but not as often as we want to, because, you know, time flies and so on, but it's always great to talk to her and... So we Skype regularly, and I've been Skyping with people from Australia a couple of times as well.
So you mentioned a little bit ago the Help Twill campaign that you did. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that came together?
Yes.
And I guess we should start with Twill is This Week in Libraries.
It's a show that is a sponsored show. So what we wanted to do was to help out, to sponsor the show. We are crowdfunding, and we thought that it would be a beautiful idea to get the viewers, the librarians from all over the world, to be part of sponsoring the show. So like it usually is with these things, there was an email from Nancy Dowd that started it all. And then we were a couple of people that were emailing each other and said, what should we do? How should we do this? And then we made the Tumblr and we set up the PayPal account and made the social media campaign. And that was a very good example of working international via a network with people there that you never met. At that time, I haven't met Miley Joseph yet. I met Loida, but it is a very good thing that when I was asleep in Denmark, Miley Joseph was working from Australia, and that we covered a lot of time zones here, so we could be on 24 hours actually. That's how it started up, and we work with just exchanging emails and the blog and tweets and a Google Doc, and basically that's all it takes to set up a campaign.
And did you guys think it was a successful campaign?
I think it was a successful campaign. We aimed very high in how much we wanted to collect, and we didn't reach the goal. But at the time we did the campaign, the show got a lot of new viewers, and we could see that the LinkedIn group that's connected to the show got a lot of new users in that time. So I think that the show got broader in a way, and that's great too. And also we provided the funds and said, send a good message to Eric and Jaap that we love what they do, and that we think that it's very important, because it is... It is a small learning environment for librarians worldwide.
And you were also involved in the BioLibrary for India project. Can you talk about how that got started? And
yes, it was kind of the same story. I think that It was an English, no, Scottish, I guess, librarian that sent a tweet about, hey, you can buy a library for India. If you have this amount of funds, you can buy a library for India. And then Ned Potter tweeted that and said, oh, I don't have that kind of money. And I tweeted, oh, no, I haven't got that kind of money either, but it's a cool thing that you can buy and build a library in India. And then Andromeda Yelton said, but I don't have the kind of money either, but maybe Twitter does. And and then we began writing each other, should we do this? Should we make a campaign? And we asked Justin if he wanted to be part of the team too. And he just loved the idea. So so there we were. and that was very cool. And of course, also with Ned working on his marketing book at that time too. So we had a marketing expert on our team, and I think that we worked very well together. So so that was and that was so much fun. And that was the first project that I did on an international level. And both of these projects have been spare time projects, of course. But it's I think there's a lot to learn with working that way. So, and it was so much fun.
And was that project a success as well? I mean, did they get that library built in India?
Yes, they did. Yeah, and actually, we collected a lot more funds than we needed. So, so there was also money to get a bigger library than we aimed for, and some subscriptions for newspapers and extra books, and also four donkey-driven libraries in Africa. So that was a huge success, and yes, it's. It was the four of us that did a lot of work, but 100 people from all over the world contributed with funds. So, so it's really their library, and it's a great story. And it's great to know that the library is there, but it's also a good story of how you can use social media in a very powerful way to change the world. Because, like we said at that time, libraries are closing all over the world, but why not build one? And people thought that that was a very good idea. So that was great.
Yeah, and crowdfunding seems like a very librarian kind of idea, that we're sharing resources and working together for a common goal.
I think it is, and also you had Eric Hellman and Andromeda Yelton from Uncluid on the show earlier on, and what they're doing with Unclue is. I think I've written about it, and I call it the most democratic book project that I know of, because it really is an idea that we like as librarians, isn't it? To set the books free, but it's also crowdfunding is also hard, because you need the right story that really talks to people if you want to go out and get the funds, because it's. Yeah, some people give a lot of money, some people give a little, and you really have to get a lot of people to give if you want to reach your goal. So so it is very much library thinking, but it's also hard, because you need the right project and the right story.
Right. Yeah, so I think especially things like building a library in India, that's a pretty easy thing to get for people to wrap their heads around and support.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
There was another project that you were involved in that I thought sounded really fun, and that's the Cycling for Libraries project.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. They've done it twice now, and they're doing it again this summer. But the first Cycling for Libraries, and that was the first on-conference for cycling librarians in the world. They cycled from Copenhagen, Denmark, to Berlin in Germany. And on the way, if you cycle from Copenhagen to Berlin, you will pass through the area where my library is situated.
Oh, neat.
And it is a big area, so so they were here for 2 days. And I read about the project, and I think it was on Twitter that I read about the project. And I think, well, if they're going to go this way, they will pass through where I am. So I got in contact with Masa and Yuka, who are the organizers, and a couple of very great guys from Finland, and said, well, I know that you're coming over to look at the route, and we could meet up, and I can show you my library, and we can talk about if we can contribute in any way to this thing. So they, a winter day, much like today, because it is the winter time here in Denmark. I met up with them, and we discussed the project, and it came to that we hosted for 2 days and made part of the program for the 2 days. I made a small session also with Buffy Hamilton Skyping in and made some idea generation about the future of libraries, because I thought that if you have almost 100 bicycling libraries from all over the world, librarians from all over the world, it's an international think tank. And how often do you have that passing through your area and visiting your library?
Right.
So you always talk about the future of libraries, but here I think it was very relevant to ask so many different people from so many different countries and so many different library types how they thought about the future of libraries. So that was the program here, and we had a social evening with some food from one of the restaurants owned by the chef, one of the chefs that founded Norma, which has been awarded the best restaurant in the world for 3 years in a row. So that was really something, and the food was great, and we had a very nice evening. So, and it was so much fun. And the next day, I cycled with them to Rostock in Germany, and so I was with them for almost 3 days on that journey, all in all. And then I returned to Denmark, so I wasn't going with them to Berlin. But I've been meeting up with a lot of these people, other places at conferences afterwards, and it's a great way to work with a network, like we talked about before. It's another way to talk if you're in front of a person, and also if you're bicycling for 10 days next to a person, you connect in another way. So I think it's a very important project. It's lots more than bicycling next to librarians, because it's a knowledge network too. And I think they do so much cool stuff on that conference.
And how far of a route is that, you know, from Copenhagen to Berlin?
Oh, I could get in trouble. 800 and a little bit more kilometers, almost 900 kilometers, I guess.
And how long was the route that you rode along with them? Not that long, I guess.
that was not so much. It was 30 kilometers or something.
So you're near the German border.
Yeah, very very much. Yeah, with train to Hamburg, where I met Justin last early spring. It's about 3 hours from here, including a ferry for about 45 minutes. So it's pretty close.
And were you already a cycler before that, or?
Yeah, I cycle to work every day, and it's only 4.5 kilometers. But I've always cycled a lot, so it was not new to me, and I didn't have to do some heavy training before the trips.
And I was also interested to hear about a project you mentioned when we were talking about doing this interview, of that I went and researched the networks. I hadn't heard of it before. The Read, Watch, Play that you're doing with some libraries are doing from various countries. Can you tell me a little bit more about that project?
In 2012, it was the National Year of Reading in Australia, and I read about it, and I thought it was so cool to make a year the National Year of Reading. And I really like the perspective that they had, that reading is so broad that you can, of course, read a book, but reading is also reading tweets or reading blog posts, but it could also be playing a game, because you don't want to limit how you... how you read in that project. And then what they did was that they did some blog posts with themes, and once a month they had a chat on Twitter with a hashtag for National Year of Reading. And I participated there in the chat a couple of times because it was in the evening, I guess, in Australia there, so it was a good time for me. I could take the time to contribute a little bit to it and learn about how they were doing this, because I thought it was very cool. So, and they thought it was very fun that people from other places in the world took part in this, because it was a national Australian project. And they wanted to keep on doing something like that here in the new year, 2013. And they asked if my library wanted to be a partner, and also libraries from New Zealand and Singapore are involved in this. So actually today I have a blog post up on the rereading theme here for January about Bob Dylan's Time Out of Mind album. So I guess you can read an album too, and and I wrote a little blog post about that. And
I'll include a link to that in the show notes so people can read that.
Thank you. So what we're doing is that with the reading groups that we have here, we will ask them if they have any thoughts about the topic, and we'll try to make the global local in saying, well, there are people reading about this theme in Australia, and we will share what our thoughts with them, and they will share their thoughts with us. But it could also just be making an exhibition of books within this theme, and it's very practical stuff, and it's fun to do. So, yeah. So it's a very good project.
Yeah, it's really neat, and I think it's really important that I talked to this about a few other people recently. It's really important, I think, that we do embrace all these new technological things, but we don't want to give up that fact that libraries are about reading quite a bit. Like I said, the definition of reading can be pretty broad, so yeah. It's not like we have to get rid of ebooks or get rid of Twitter or get rid of any of this kind of stuff. That kind of stuff kind of counts as reading, so we can embrace that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The last project I wanted to ask you about before I got to some more general questions was you're working on doing a variation on the 23 Things project, or you're doing 23 Mobile Things?
Yes. Yes, we are. We're doing that at my library at the moment, and it's on iPad Mini. And it's a learning project for the staff here. And I hope that when we're done with it, that we will have learned a lot about how to use this technology, so we will be in a better position to answer all the technology questions that people have, and we will try to broaden it out afterwards also to the members of the community here. So it's kind of a two-step thing, but again, we're working with Australia here, so there will be an English version of the 23 mobile things that the State Library of New South Wales in Australia will make. And it's Miley Joseph that I also work with in Help This Week in Libraries that are working on this in Australia with some other people there. So it's a very good project. And also Michael Stevens are also involved in this, and we will write a blog post for Tame the Web soon together about the project. He's doing some research on the project, so it's very local and very global too, and I'm looking forward to the English version and that people can can use the stuff that we are using right now. We are on Think 4 this week, and it's Dropbox. So it's live here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that too, because that's a lot of what we're the training that we're doing with our staff now too, is about learning all these mobile things, because we need to understand it, because that's what our patrons are coming in and asking about. So.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point for why I think that it's worth working with these global things, because people ask the same questions. People are, what I think that I've learned is that libraries are so alike all over the world, and we provide access to information and we guide people in information, and we do that everywhere, and it's so much fun to hear that you experience the same thing at your library that we do here, that people ask more and more of these questions, so you're doing the same stuff, and that's great that we can inspire each other on how we get answers.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about social media, is it provides this. I mean, before it was much more difficult to be in touch with people from other countries, so this just provides us with this great tool for staying in touch and sharing ideas.
Exactly.
Are there any other values that you think librarians throughout the world share? Like, is there some core thing that all libraries, because obviously there are differences between countries of how libraries are going to work, but is there some core that you think we all share?
I think that there is a core that we all share. And you also said that we shouldn't give up the reading part. And yeah, it's kind of a difficult question to answer. At the first IFLA that I was to in Göteborg in Sweden, there it hit me that there were so many people from all over the world, all working for the same cause, that is libraries. I think that was probably what I learned most at that conference. Just walking around, there were 3,000 librarians from every country you can possibly imagine. And So when I say that that we're working for the same cause, it is that the donkey-driven libraries in India that people crowdfunded, we are buying a library project in Africa. They get information and learning out there to people in their community. That's what we're doing at my library. That's what you are doing at your library. So maybe we have different tools. Maybe we use lots of more technology than they do. But basically, we do the same stuff. So we just use different tools. So I think that there is a call there. And I also think that a lot of the developments right now to change libraries, because society is changing and technology is changing, that we're facing the same challenges there, and we answer them in different ways because we get different ideas, and that is where we can learn from each other. So I can translate something that you do to work in my community, and some of the things you do I can't, and that's okay.
Right, and some differences are not even countrywide, or not even international wide, because I mean there are things that would work for. I mean, I'm near Atlanta in the U.S., so there are things that would work for me that would not work for people who live in Seattle or New York. So it's not even within a country that your communities are all different. So I think all libraries know that they have to be responsive to their own individual community, and also, I mean, we work at public libraries, but academic libraries have to be responsive to students and things like that. So. I was going to ask, in the U.S., we're digging ourselves out of our economic recession, and I know Europe has been hit just as hard with a series of economic crises. How do you think libraries can show their worth in times of economic hardship like this? Like, what can we offer to our communities in these tough times?
I think that we have a lot to offer our communities also in tough times. I think that that learning is a very important core area for libraries, and I think that it has always been that, but it's hard to get the word out there. So what I really want is to to show people that if they have a need for learning something, they should think of their libraries first. And that could be in a recession. People need new skills, and we have a big role to play there. Also, we provide inspiration in many different ways, and we should keep on doing that as well. So I think that libraries are more important than ever, because when the amount of information is getting bigger and bigger all the time, there will be even more need for the people that are the best to navigate in information, and that is libraries. And people need that very much in a recession too.
Right.
They don't need information, they need the right information.
Right, and it's a shame that a lot of times some people think that as we get more technology that we would need libraries less, but I think it's actually that we need libraries more, because now there's so much more information out there, and you need somebody to filter that information for you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So what are your hopes for the future of libraries? Where do you think we can go from where we are now, and how do you think we can grow?
I think it's a very good question. My hopes for the future of libraries is that we get to tell the story of all that we can do, so people will listen and hear it. Because when you say that, a lot of people think that you need libraries less because of all the technology. I think that we're losing a lot of people on that account, and also a lot of people that we never get to be users at the library in the first place, and that's a shame. I think that is one of the biggest challenges, is that is getting the word out there why libraries are more important than ever. I'm very much inspired by David Lankes, that you have had on the show also. Mm-hmm. And he said the greatest threat to libraries is a lack of imagination, and I guess that he's right about that. So I think that we need to reinvent some stuff, but I also think that it's right that we should focus on a lot of the things that we're already doing, and then I just don't know how to get the word out there better, but my biggest hope is that people will know how much their libraries are actually doing for the community.
And so, who else in the library world is an inspiration to you?
Oh yeah, because I had a feeling that you might ask me this question, so I
have a long list.
Yeah, so long, a long list, and you know, there will be people that I'm inspired by that I cannot mention because we are on a time schedule here. But I mentioned a couple of them already, Buffy Hamilton and Michael Stevens, and all the people from both the Buy India Library team and Help This Week in Libraries team that I get to know so well, and are great inspirations, Justin and Ned and Andromeda, I just mentioned David Lankes and the guys from Finland from Cycling for Libraries, and also the German Zukunft Entwicklers network that I'm part of. There are some great librarians. They are doing so inspiring stuff, trying to move libraries forward. So there are so many good learning opportunities. So.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about doing this show, is that I get to figure out who I'm inspired by, and then I get to ask them to be on the show and talk to them for an hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand. And also in Australia, also Ellen Forsyth, who's one of the people behind Read, Watch, Play. So you should get her on the show too. That would be great.
All right. Well, Jan, thank you so much for talking to me for the show. I think I hope everybody learned a lot about non-American libraries and things that we can all learn from each other.
I hope so too. Thank you very much for having me, Steve. It's been so much fun.
And can you tell people how they can find out more about you online?
Yes, I'm very active on Twitter on @JanHolmqvist, and I have a blog that I write on occasionally at janholmqvist.wordpress.com, and also I have an About Me page where you can find the links. So it's about.me/JanHolmqvist.
All right, Jan, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to learn more about the podcast, you can visit circulatingideas.com, or you can follow the show on Twitter @CircIdeas, or on Tumblr @circulatingideas.tumblr.com. You can also like the show on Facebook @facebook.com/circulatingideas. And if you have comments, questions, or suggestions for future interviews, you can contact the show @circulatingideas.mail@gmail.com. Music is by Pamela Klicka. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time.